Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. And again, we're recording a little earlier on Friday afternoon, second straight week where my schedule hasn't really let us hold out until we get the West Coast practice updates and all the full injury designations. But that's okay, because you know me, I'm going to go through all the possibilities for all these injured stars, and you'll know how to pivot no matter what happens the rest of the day, no matter what we find out on Friday night and into Saturday on the teams that are practicing for the Monday nighter. Before we get to that, though, just wanted to mention that there's not going to be a Twitter takeover on Sunday morning this week, and once again, you can blame my schedule for that, but there's also the Dolphins-Chiefs game happening on Sunday morning, so I assume that everybody's going to be watching that game anyway. Regardless, I will try to answer some questions from my account if I have some time on Sunday morning, but no official takeover of the Score main account this week, so just wanted to let you know about that. All right, let's get to these injuries, and we'll start with quarterbacks. Josh Allen, so Wednesday off due to the shoulder injury. He was back to full on Thursday and Friday. He's going to be good to go for week 9. Same goes for Jalen Hurts, who's playing through that knee injury. He's not even on the injury report anymore, so he's going to be all systems go. The knee hasn't really slowed him down fantasy-wise anyway, but that Cowboys defense, that might be a little bit more of a challenge for him this week. I just hope that he doesn't aggravate that knee issue at any point, because that would be the only thing that could really slow down that Eagles offense. The Chargers, they keep listing Justin Herbert with the finger injury. He's fine. It's another one where the matchup's going to be the real problem for him this week. The Jets, a very, very tough defense for opposing QBs, so Herbert more of a low-end QB1 this week. Deshaun Watson, he returned to practice. By all accounts, he looked good. I saw some beat writers saying that he had zip on his ball again, which that was the problem for a while due to that shoulder injury that's kept him sidelined. But Watson has been announced as the starter this week, and I initially had put him back in the rankings on that Thursday update, and then I saw some of his quotes that made me kind of second guess it. Now he belongs back in the rankings, and with all the injuries at quarterback, with all the backups that are playing this week, Watson's kind of an intriguing QB2 in a pretty good matchup with the Cardinals. So his return's also going to be good news for Amari Cooper and, to a lesser extent, David Njoku and Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore, somebody that I talked about back on Wednesday's episode as a buy low candidate, so somebody you could target in trades, or if he's out there on the waiver wire, you could go pick him up and see if the return of Watson can really help his value, because the volume's been there. The production just hasn't yet. I think he could have a good second half of the season, though. Kyler Murray, so he's another star QB who's been out with an injury, and his was obviously the torn ACL from last year, but he's been back at practice for a couple weeks now. He's been off the injury report entirely, so in theory, he is able to play, but Jonathan Gannon said they haven't decided who's going to start yet. He said they're going to make that decision on the plane today. I also saw some of the beat writers noting that Murray was thrown to the depth receivers in practice this week and Clayton Tune was thrown to the starters. So I mentioned this a few weeks ago that I didn't think that they were going to throw Kyler out there in his first game back against the Ravens, who they played last week, or against the Browns, who they play this week. Both really, really tough matchups. So that means week 10 versus the Falcons, that is the spot that I'd be targeting. I think that is the nice place for him. He gets to start at home and he gets to come back against a slightly easier opponent. Now, if they do that, then they're kind of just throwing Clayton Tune to get sacrificed to that Browns defense, right? Like this week, it's going to be unfortunate for him. It's going to be unfortunate for all these Cardinals players. So Browns defense, for sure, a strong fantasy play if that's the case. And I would stay away from most of the Cardinals if you can. But if Kyler does somehow get the nod, if we get surprised over the weekend and he is the one starting, it would give you a little bit of hope for Marquise Brown and Rondell Moore. And I think Trey McBride can get there either way based on volume and because the bar is a little bit lower for tight ends right now. But Kyler would give all those guys a chance to produce. And Kyler himself, if he was playing, would be a risky QB2 in that difficult matchup. But regardless, better days are ahead once Kyler is back in the lineup. And I think that is going to start next week against the Falcons. Baker Mayfield, he's been a full participant at Bucs practice, despite the fact he's been dealing with that knee injury. So he's also on the QB2 streamer list this week. Daniel Jones, we talked about him earlier in the week. He's a risky QB2 in his return to the lineup from that neck injury. I feel like the Raiders are coming to play this week. You know, after the coaching change, they're going to be fired up. So, you know, Jones being back is a good thing for New York, but let's see him do something before we actually put any faith in this Giants offense, especially with Darren Waller out. And I think everybody knows that by now. I'm not spoiling the tight end section by any means, but Darren Waller's not going to be there. That's, you know, their second best player behind Saquon Barkley. Going to be tough going for that Giants offense, even though Daniel Jones coming back is great news. And then Matthew Stafford, he didn't practice this week due to that thumb injury. They listed him as questionable. They're calling him a game time decision. I highly doubt that he plays. So it'll be Brett Rypien versus the Packers. Got to lower all the Rams projections because of it, which makes Cooper Kupp a high-end wide receiver 2, Puka Nacua a fringe, low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3, and then Rypien just a desperation start in two quarterback or super flex leagues. On to running backs. So back to the Giants. Saquon Barkley off the injury report finally, and he was limited in practice the first 2 days of the week. Got in a full session on Friday. He did say, though, this week that he thinks that that ankle injury is going to affect him the rest of the season. So that's why they're taking it easy on him in practice. But they also gave him a career-high 36 touches last week, and he put up 128 yards with those touches. So I'm starting him with confidence against the Raiders, but I'm keeping an eye on how he looks. I'm hoping that that ankle issue doesn't rear its ugly head and send him back to the trainer's table at any point, or I suppose it's the blue medical tent now that we'd have to say. We don't want to see Saquon end up back in the blue medical tent and getting checked out for that ankle. As long as he stays healthy, he will be a solid RB1 the rest of the season. Joe Mixon, so he was limited in Wednesday's practice with a chest issue, was back to full Thursday and Friday. They listed him as questionable, but no concerns there. Mixon's a strong RB1 for fantasy this week. I had mentioned that I was watching Jonathan Taylor after last week's game, and he seemed to get hurt at one point, and then he didn't get many touches in the second half, and he was crushing it in the first half, so that made you think, okay, he might be hurt again, but he's not even on the injury report. When reporters were asking him about that play where he might have got hurt, he didn't even know what they were talking about. So all clear for Taylor, a great matchup coming for him and for Zach Moss facing the Panthers this week. Raheem Mostert, he's been missing a little practice with an ankle injury, but he's good to go for week 9. That matchup with the Chiefs in Germany, that's going to be really, really exciting. Don't forget to set your lineups for that one either. Very early Sunday morning, got to get those lineups set. I'll have my rankings up by normally about 8 a.m., right around the time that inactives come out for those Europe games. I normally get my rankings up at that point. Gus Edwards, he was DNP on Wednesday with a toe injury, back to full on Thursday, so no concerns about him this week. He's a solid RB2 for fantasy. Aaron Jones, he's got that hamstring injury. It just won't go away. He's been limited in games. He continues to be limited in practice, and he was wearing a red non-contact jersey today, so I expect that he's going to be limited again in Friday's practice, and it's hard to trust him in your lineup as anything other than a risky low-end RB2. The ceiling is still there, but until we get him a little healthier, until we get some proof that he is going to get that bigger workload, I can't rank him inside the top 15 or so where he normally would be. And AJ Dillon, he hasn't been great this year. So it's just a bad situation for fantasy in an offense that's struggling to find its identity. And I know there was some quotes today from Matt LaFleur saying that Aaron Jones has a great attitude and he had a good week at practice and they're ready to cut him loose. But I need to see that happen before I'm going to move him up significantly in the rankings. Jerome Ford, he surprised us by playing last week despite having that ankle sprain. Split touches in a committee in that game, but seemingly came out of it without any issues. So he's been limited in practice this week. I'd expect that he's going to get more work this time around. So he's a low-end RB2 in a very good matchup with the Cardinals. And then Kareem Hunt, he's going to be an upside RB3 since he should still get a decent amount of work in that offense as well. Damian Pierce on the Texans, he didn't practice this week due to an ankle injury. He's been ruled out. And remember, Devin Singletary, he was starting to get some more volume prior to the bye a few weeks ago. That split continued last week. Now Pierce is out, and that's going to open the door for Singletary to start with Mike Boone, great name, handling some of the passing down work. And that makes Singletary a volume-based low-end RB2 or high-end RB3 kind of in that range. But the Bucs, they're still stout against the run, so not the best spot for Singletary. He could be a starter for you, though. Depending on your options, you could get him into your lineup. And the Texans' schedule, it's not terrible the rest of the way. If Singletary can give them more than Pierce was, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that Singletary could lead this backfield for the rest of the season. Pierce has really, really struggled. But for now, Singletary, a volume-dependent fringe RB2, that's what we're looking at him as this week. Amari Demarcado on the Cardinals. Just been an up and down affair with this guy. He missed practice the first 2 days of the week. He wasn't out there for the early part of practice today, so he's trending towards not playing due to that toe injury. And the matchup with the Browns, it wasn't good to begin with. But if you're very, very desperate at running back, Keontae Ingram, he will likely get a lot of touches in this game if Demarcado's out. Damian Williams, he got placed on IR this week. Tony Jones is the only other healthy back on the roster. So Ingram, a desperation RB2 or flex in a bad matchup. He's only rostered in 7% of fantasy leagues, though. So it's something if you're out there looking for a guy you can get into your lineup. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's been ruled out with an illness, and I think Jerick McKinnon is going to play, but he did miss some practice this week with a groin injury, so could be a very big game for Isaiah Pacheco. I think that's it for running back, so let's shift to receivers here, and the big one there is Drake London. Some people, they gave me a hard time earlier in the week when I didn't rank him, but that's because there were signs that he wasn't going to play. He had the groin injury last week's game, they kind of downplayed it, and then he didn't practice all week, and guess what? He got ruled out today. I don't know how much confidence that we can really have in all these other Falcons receivers, though, because we know what this offense is like. You have a guy like Van Jefferson there now. He's ranked the highest for me. Kadir Hodge, Mac Hollins. I wouldn't be surprised if any of these guys lead the receiving corps, but I don't see them as anything more than dart throw flex options, really. I would be focusing more of my attention on the tight ends. Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith, I think the passing attack is going to run through them. And then, of course, the backfield with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. But the Vikings have been good against the run. So maybe Taylor Heinicke under center now can help revitalize this passing attack. And maybe, just maybe, this could be the week for Kyle Pitts to really go off. I have him as a top 10 tight end play. I mean, if it isn't this week, then when, right? And also with London out, it does hurt Taylor Heinicke for fantasy too. If you were looking at him in a two quarterback or super flex league as a potential play this week, he's more just a risky low end QB2 now. Amari Cooper, so no issues for him. He did miss some practice early in the week, but he was listed as not an injury related rest slash ankle, which I don't know why they list them as that. Why is the ankle part in there if it's not injury related? But regardless, Cooper's good to go. His outlook is going to brighten a little bit here with Watson back and presumably with Watson healthy too. And now you have this Browns receiving core, Donovan Peoples-Jones, he gets traded this week. They also ruled out David Bell for this game. I think Marquise Goodwin is good to play, but he was dealing with an illness earlier in the week too. So Cooper's a wide receiver too. Elijah Moore is a flex option. And then Goodwin and the rookie Cedric Tillman, they're going to share that number three role. Not really chasing either of those two for redraft leagues. Puka Nacua, he's been limited in practice with a knee injury. Haven't really seen anything that makes me worried about his availability. I think they listed him as questionable right before we started recording. We're going to be knocking down his projection a bit just based on the quarterback situation for the Rams. The Seahawks, so DK Metcalf, he was full on Wednesday and then DNP on Thursday with the hip issue. Tyler Lockett was DNP on Wednesday and then limited on Thursday. I'm not worried about either of these guys' health going into week 9. Seahawks, they often rest their guys like this. They give their veterans days off. And this is another one of those ones, though, where the matchup is going to be the problem for them, not the injury, because Baltimore's given up the fifth fewest fantasy points to receivers this year. So got to temper expectations for the Seahawks passing game this week. Josh Downs, he got that dreaded midweek downgrade where he was added to the injury report on Thursday with a knee issue, but he did practice on Friday. I guess that he's going to play this week, even though he's listed as questionable, but something that we're going to have to keep an eye on over the next 24 to 48 hours. Josh Palmer, he played through that knee injury last week, seemed like he aggravated it at one point, and now he's not practicing, and this one is tough because it's a Monday night game, so we only have one practice report to go off of right now, but I'm leaning towards Palmer not playing this week, and even if he does, he's going to be at less than 100%, and he's going to be against a very difficult pass defense in the Jets, so I would plan to be without Palmer for this game, and if we do get a surprise over the next couple days, then I will move him up, but I don't think that's going to happen, and because it's the matchup with the Jets, I don't really feel great about the other guys that could step in for him, right? Quentin Johnston or Jalen Guyton if he ends up back in the lineup this week, or really any of those other receivers. So Keenan Allen, he's a wide receiver one, Austin Eckler an RB1, Justin Herbert a low-end QB1, and then maybe Gerald Everett as a streamer tight end, but I'm not really sure that I'd be willing to use anybody other than those guys in fantasy this week. Curtis Samuel on the Commanders. He's been a sneaky fantasy option this season, but he left early last week with the toe injury. Now he's been ruled out for week 9, so it doesn't really change much for Terry McLaurin, but Jahan Dotson, he's a nice flex, maybe even a wide receiver 3 this week. And Jamison Crowder is an interesting dart throw after he popped up with that big game last week when Samuel left. So really like him as sort of that desperation kind of play at receiver. And then tight end Logan Thomas, he should continue to see good volume with Samuel out. And the Patriots have been hit hard by tight ends lately. Thomas, a strong tight end 1 play. Some quick ones to note here too. Wandell Robinson continues to be limited with the knee injury. Hasn't really been fantasy relevant in a few weeks though. Maybe Daniel Jones coming back will help him, but he's a stash at best right now. KJ Osborne and Brandon Powell on the Vikings, they've been limited with injuries this week, and with Kirk Cousins out for the year, I'm not playing either of those guys. DJ Chark on the Panthers, he was DNP limited with an elbow injury. He's listed as questionable. He is a very risky fantasy play in this one. Michael Wilson on the Cardinals, he's been ruled out, but I'm not turning to Rondell Moore or anybody in that receiving core to step up, just not with that matchup against the Browns. Not this week, maybe moving forward, but not this week. Robert Woods on the Texans, he's out. That gives Tank Dell a bump, and to a lesser degree, Noah Brown, but really it's Collins and it's Dell. They're the guys that you want to play in that Texans passing attack, and I'm going back to them this week. I know they had a down week last week. I think they're going to bounce back. Devontae Parker, he's still in concussion protocol, and he started the week with 2 straight DNPs before he returned today. It does give him a chance to play, but still on the wrong side of things. Normally, you need a couple full practices before you get cleared, and not that you're going to start him anyway, but with Kendrick Bourne out, Parker could have some fantasy-relevant performances in the second half of the season. It definitely is possible. And then we'll wrap things up with tight end here. So we got Darren Waller, who we already mentioned. He aggravated the hamstring issue, said he's going to be out for a few weeks. So Daniel Bellinger, he's going to get the start, and he's just a low-end streamer for fantasy. Logan Thomas, who we already talked about as well, he had a heel injury that was limiting him on Wednesday, but he was back to full practices, so he's fine. He's an every-week fantasy starter. Taysom Hill, he's been limited with a hip injury in practice. I haven't really seen anything or heard anything that makes me think that he's going to miss this game, so I'm still ranking him as a low-end tight end 1 with some upside, too. We've seen him really put up some good performances lately. Hopefully, he can continue to do that for fantasy managers that are starting him. David Njoku, he's dealing with an ankle issue, caused him to miss some practice. I suspect that he's going to play, though, and he could have a nice second half of the season if Watson can get back to form. So, for now, Njoku is a high-end tight end 2 with the potential to get back up into that tight end 1 range. And Gerald Everett, he was back to full practices after missing last week's game with that hip injury. Great to see that. He should be back and should be starting this week, and he is a streamer that you could consider. And Packers rookie Luke Musgrave, he's been limited in practice with an ankle issue. As long as he plays, he'll be on the streamer radar, but he's more of a risky streamer. Just until we see him show something consistent, then you're just really hoping for a big play or for a touchdown from him. And in that offense that's not really operating at 100% efficiency, and you have a lot of guys vying for targets there, it makes it a little harder to trust Musgrave in your lineup. But that is all for today's show. If you want more, you can go check out Start, Sit, Stash, Quit that's up over at The Score. I'll be back on Sunday morning. I'll have all the rankings updates then. Just not that Twitter takeover, The Score account. But like I said, I will do my best to answer some questions from my account. If I have time on Sunday morning, I'll put out the ask for those there. Otherwise, you just got to sit back. You got to enjoy the Dolphins-Chiefs morning game, which should be a very, very good one. One of the best matchups that we've seen for one of those Europe games. Until then, though, big thanks for following me on Twitter, at Justin Boone. Big thanks for listening to the show. And we'll see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. Said leave on time.